friends, this is The Path to Joy, and I'm your host, Melissa Bloom. I want to start today's episode with a story. I was very fortunate to go to high school in California that in the mid-90s offered a class purely on genetics. I loved learning about genetics. I probably loved history just as much, but my dad told me that I had to study science in college. It's funny, my dad was never very heavy-handed. He pretty much let me make all my own decisions. This was the only one that he was very firm with. Math or science, that's it. But luckily, I did love learning about genetics. It was fascinating. I remember trying to figure out this one really challenging problem, and it was almost like my brain hurt. But I liked having to think that hard, and I liked some of the ethical dilemmas. Senior year of high school, I watched this video about Huntington's disease, which is a perfect disease when you talk about genetic testing because it really is caused by a specific mutation on chromosome 4. So while most diseases we've come to find out over the last 30 years are not truly genetically predisposed, Huntington's disease is. So the video chronicled the story of a family who was trying to decide whether to get tested for Huntington's. It was suspected that the mutation ran in the family, knowing that it would, in essence, tell them whether they have the potential for a long, healthy life or not. And it's pretty funny that I can barely remember what we ate for dinner a few nights ago, and yet I remember this video and where I was sitting in the classroom so clearly from like 30 years ago. I know I always have this digression problem, but I thought really hard about it, and at 17, I came out on the side of ignorance is bliss. I'd prefer not to know and just live my life rather than living in wait. And I think at 44, I'm sticking with the same call. Ignorance is bliss in many ways. All right, I'm moving on from that. So I studied genetics in college and I enjoyed it. I studied history too. I might have enjoyed that slightly more. Genetics was hard. Some of the classes I had to take were really hard for me, and I studied all the time. And I think that was really my dad's intent. Study something that requires you to work very hard so you learn how to learn. But when I graduated, I was at a bit of a crossroads: get a job or continue in school. I decided to continue in school. I had enough credits that I could fairly quickly in just a year get a master's. So I thought, well, that sounds good. And it gives me a bit of a reprieve from having to figure things out. So I started working in a yeast lab, right? Growing yeast and doing experiments on yeast. My senior year of college, I was at the Wistar Institute. And I enjoyed the smell of the yeast. It smelled like bread a lot of the time in the lab. And that year, I just happened to work on a project that had a positive result. So I got to be a co-author in a paper. Very much beginner's luck. I didn't realize how rare it is to have a significant finding right out of the gate. And I continued working in the same lab for my master's. And that's when things started to go south. Not directly south. It wasn't terrible. It just wasn't great. Yeast cultures can be ready at any time, so people who work in labs don't often keep regular hours. And the doctoral candidate whom I was paired with, David, who was so nice, he liked to come in at 3 p.m. So once we got our cultures ready, they might be ready at 3 a.m., which he seemed totally fine with. I was not totally fine with. Then there was the time I opened the negative 80 freezer with too much force and our plates accidentally fell out, setting us back a week. Or the fact that my pipetting skills were not on point, so some of my results were inconclusive and I had to do experiments over and over again. Or when our results were clear, it showed that our hypothesis was incorrect. Back to the drawing board. And all of this is pretty normal stuff, but I hated it. Lab work can also be very lonely. I suppose you could find yourself in a friendly, jovial lab, but in truth, it's hard to concentrate when you're telling jokes. I tried. So the work is isolated and lonely. David, my mentor, was pretty quiet. He was very much an introvert and he was very patient. At one point, when I was pretty exasperated, he said, "Melissa, this is kind of what it's like. If you want to go to get a PhD and have a career in academia, you're going to do this kind of stuff for years. And you don't seem to really enjoy it very much." Yes, he nailed it. Well, I probably got a little huffy. I'm only slightly better at receiving advice, even really good advice now at 44 than I was then. I'm still working on it. But David was a gem, and I'm so grateful he said that to me. It was a hard pill to swallow. This thing that I spent, say, 6 years thinking I would pursue was maybe not a good fit. And what was I going to do if I didn't go into genetics and academia? Well, it took about another 20 years to figure out, but none of that time was wasted. And I'm relieved that I figured out that a life of science in academia probably wasn't for me before I started a PhD program. And I'm grateful that David had the guts to tell me I looked miserable and should pursue a different path. And ever since, I've been somewhat consciously, probably somewhat unconsciously, picking up clues about me, about the kind of work that is not for me and the kind that is. Maybe it doesn't have to take decades to figure it all out. Maybe it just took me that long. But I've decided I'm not in a rush to figure it all out. Because when I do, then what? So I'm always learning and tinkering and trying to be open to the clues, the breadcrumbs. I might have to read the clues a bunch of times before I can decode the message. But that's okay. I have time. You too have been collecting clues, that trail of breadcrumbs all along the way. And it's okay to reinvent yourself over and over and over again. And if you're looking for more ways to stay open and curious, go ahead and check out Joy School. The short, go-at-your-own-pace lessons are meant to help you get curious about you and the world around you. Kind of like switching out the lens with which you view your world from maybe green to, say, yellow. You can find the link on my website, melissabloom.life, or in the show notes. Thank you to my editor, Ben Kish, and thanks so much for listening, friends. Join me again every Tuesday and Thursday on your favorite podcast app for more episodes of The Path to Joy. Enjoy the journey.